energiamajanduse telgitagustes.
Hello everybody and welcome to the next episode of ABB Estonia podcast. I'm here today with Sergei Kalashnikov.
Hello everyone.
And Risto Rosin.
Hey.
And my name is Jaanus Karu. I'm heading the System Drives Engineering Department in Estonia.
I'm working in Estonia in Reliability Testing Team as Testing Manager.
And I'm Estonian Drive Products Engineering Manager.
And we have gathered today here to cover the topic of reliability engineering and discuss a little bit about the practical applications of it with drives. So maybe let's go directly to the very basics. Could you please explain what reliability engineering is?
Reliability is a statistical term, actually, but I would explain it that way. Everybody is talking usually about the quality. You know, this is good quality, this is bad quality. So quality would be something like a picture in time. Reliability would be like a movie or out of these pictures. It's how the quality changes in time. And by definition, it's a probability of a system to work within its intended functions for a specific amount of time. So for example, you have a phone, iPhone, and it doesn't work in sauna. Is it good quality or bad? That has to be defined by the specifications, right? So if its sauna is 100 degrees and doesn't work, maybe it shouldn't. But maybe it should work at 50 degrees. So reliability would be something that you can rely that the system would work. Every morning you start your car and it does get started. Then you would say, okay, this is good system. But if it doesn't, that's when you start feeling the pain. So reliability is undervalued when it is, but when it's not present, then you feel the consequences. So I would describe it that way.
Okay. Could you maybe bring even more examples about how reliability is in everyday use?
I see. We are now using a bunch of different products, different systems, and they all systems are based or designed. There are multiple components there existing in the system. And if one of the components in the chain fails for some reason, then the whole function might not be working. So for example, in a car again, it consists of different systems, right? You start the ignition, it doesn't start. The whole car doesn't start. But maybe the broken component is just one candle in the engine. So reliability of a system would be dependent of the reliability of components. And whenever you are using something more complicated, consisting out of multiple devices, multiple components, this is where it comes, this reliability engineering in hand, or where it was already, people already thought about this.
So what you're saying is it's more relevant in bigger systems. The bigger the systems, the more complicated the systems, the more necessary it is to turn your attention to reliability as well, right?
Definitely. The more links you have in the chain, the higher probability that one of the links will fail, which might lead to the whole system failure. So in that sense, you really need to understand how your links, how they are performing, and then how their interconnections are performing. And we're talking about the failure. By this, we understand that when we say, oh, this phone broken, right? Or something has broken. It doesn't work anymore. So when we say that, is we meant that there is in a device, there are multiple components, and then for every component, there is a specific normal stress that the designers kind of thought through that, okay, people will use it like that. And then there are internal strength or durability. So when the stress is higher than the strength, then the component or the device will break. It's not always the same in sense of the margins or the levels. There are certain variations, but nevertheless, that's when the stress is higher than the strength, things break. So example is, let's take a hammer and then let's hit the glass. So will it break? How do you think?
Mostly, I think it will.
Yeah, but we need to define, of course, the details, right? Because it can be glass or bulletproof glass, and it can be a hammer that is from the kids' toys. So in this science, there is, of course, quantifications. It's all about the numbers. And when we are talking to the approach to our products, we're having different kind of stresses: mechanical forces, electrical forces, thermal, chemical, and then radiation. So, for example, if you have a device and it's constantly shaking, then you know that it doesn't look nice, so it might something might go wrong there. You don't know exactly, but even from your gut feeling, you know something is wrong. So we try in this activity in the engineering to understand what are the weakest links in the our products by how the customers are using them, where they're using them, because we know the conditions. And by we finding what breaks first and then changing this to more robust, we make the whole system overall more reliable. So I hope that gives you a good intro.
And on top of this reliability, we can also link it together with sustainability. So the point is that if the product is not breaking, we don't need to buy a new product. It's that simple. If you need to buy a new product, raw materials are used, everything is used. But if the product lasts longer, then this material will never ever be used double. So this is a really important link in the sustainability also, why we need to have reliable products.
And in a way, this assessment allows you also to understand what parts in the system need to be replaced at what point. Right? Your car, you go to the maintenance on one specific time, they give you one package of services. Another time, they give you another package of services. It's because they know what is the probability of that this specific component or bunch of components would start influencing your system, that it would start aging faster.
So basically, through reliability testing, we already have the understanding when something might break or might need changing.
Because in there, we would define the lifetime of components. And the lifetime would be how long could you use it in specific conditions. And if, for example, you start using it in higher or elevated conditions with the stress, again, example with the phone and sauna, then it will still last, but for example, out of 3 years, it will now work only half a year because you're using it in desert or somewhere.
Actually, this is if we took a car as an example. If you look at car service manual, there is actually written down the oil change interval if it is done rough driving or regular driving. So this is kind of this reliability or this testing is so embedded into our everyday life that but we don't ever link it that it's somewhere done. So where this comes from? But this comes from this extensive test is also in car manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are not talking about reliability testing for the purpose of it, but we'd like to go through, or let's say, tackle it from an angle of product reliability testing, and we are manufacturing drives in the divisions that we are operating. So maybe a little bit of introduction, what exactly a drive is.
Yeah. So drive, in essence, variable speed drive, basically it's a device you can control the motor speed, in essence that electrical motor speed. So by controlling the motor speed, you can save energy, you can have whatever you run, it is run in constantly optimal mode in that sense that you don't ever use too much energy. So quite simple example, there is a drive in an elevator. Every bigger heat ventilation system has a drive in it. So every bigger building has a drive in it to control the air motion and everything. So the drives themselves, they are everywhere around us, but we don't see them.
Maybe we could go a little bit more into detail how this reliability engineering is actually conducted.
Sure.
Yeah.
It all comes in the center of it, as in center of ABB is a customer. So they would define how and what they would like to get. Ultimately, they are saying, we would like our device to perform good in specific conditions, different industries, different applications. And all of these different applications and industries, they all have their nuances. In some cases, it's more about the environment where the drives are. In some cases, more about the control. And our goal in engineering is to translate these requirements into a solution. Certain requirements are set by the customers. After it's done, you generate certain solution. Then you would verify the solutions in one way or another. Assess the test result. If the test result is good and it passes, then it can go forward. If it's not, then you do redesign. it's kind of in this iteration loop going, and that is how it's done. And you are usually setting the this requirements on the before you're starting a project. So you really, the core is to talk with the customers and then understand what are they needing and what are the details in their use.
And we can, quite a simple example, drive as a device, it's used everywhere. But how the drive ages, let's say, in windmill application versus a sawmill application somewhere or elevator application, they're totally different. And the aging factors are different. If we go, we try to hit three birds with one stone, we usually fail because the applications themselves and aging factors are different. So this is what Sergei also mentioned, that we have to understand the customer profile, what they are actually running. And the closer we get to the customer profile, the better we are in verifying this.
And what is the idea? One of the requirements is the lifetime requirement of a drive. And they say, we want our drive, to run for 10 years, for example, right? This is the time where they would have this useful time. But how can we verify that this device will work for 10 years without waiting for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's not that, hey, 10 years later, you get a call and then, okay.
Well, product development would be a bit too long then.
I think we would not be in a business if we would be resting 10 years. So
yeah. Things change so rapidly. So what you actually do is in the aging, you could accelerate the lifetime of a device. An idea is simple. You would elevate the stress, but not to this point where the things are broken, right? That's It doesn't make sense because it will give you no information. You would like to go to the limit of the weakest component. So, right, you elevate the stress, but your upper is limited by the weakest. And then you would like to keep at this high stress for as long as possible. Basically, elevated stress causes faster aging. So imagine you're flying a plane and there's a big turbulence. And the captain goes, okay, everybody, fasten their seatbelts. And then you're remembering all the prayers you forgot. And then you suddenly find out that you have a bunch of gray hair. It's because you experienced a lot of stress, and now you aged. So same with the components. But again, the stressors are different. It's nobody is telling you about the turbulence. It's more about the conditions. And one of the biggest impacts on the drive aging on all the electronics is the temperature. Temperature cycles or elevated temperatures, this is something that is reducing the lifetime of a device. And our goal in Estonia, as part of the quality journey that ABB does, is to test those devices, drives, in elevated stress conditions to find out the improvement points. And we do it in two different frameworks. One is for R&D, and so research and development. When somebody starts a new project, they would put their new concept and they would like to test it and verify it. And it's part of our gate model. So all the projects that go through development have to go through this endurance testing. Another part is the ongoing reliability testing. When something is already produced and then you're taking random samples and then looking at how they would age and how would this device perform when it's, well, old. And I don't know if I can open up the numbers, but we definitely did find some good cases where it saved ABB reputation and money by improving this quality.
And the point of that is that we have to find those before release. This is the main point. So if the product is already released to the market in R&D phase, how many products we would already have in the field, that would be bad in that sense. Then trying to fix it, all of the service, what we need to do, that, and on top of the reputation, of course, that we cannot afford it. And also if you look this, what is done in active life cycle on this ongoing reliability testing phase, there the point is that we take those random samples in production. Okay, we have some type of, I wouldn't say risk, or some amount of drives we still send to the fleet, but we minimize the amount we have in there, that we can find the batch failures, understand those, and can be proactive.
But why are we doing this ongoing reliability testing if we have done the accelerated lifetime testing already in the development phase?
So let's look logically. How many components, electronic components, we have in our drives? Thousands. And there is so many variations, so many different materials. Everything can change over time.
We are changing. We are replacing components.
Yeah, of course, this also, but our supplier processes, our own processes, everything can change. So this is why we take those random samples and kind of verify that the processes behind it are the same. So rather than just hoping that the processes are the same, everything is the same, even the raw material is the same, we can't just count on that. So this is why we test. And I think this is why we are kind of so successful also in the drives market, that we do a lot more that actually, how to say, is needed by standard in that sense, that we do a lot more in quality and reliability world.
Mm. You, Sergei, already mentioned briefly one aging factor, which is heat then. But can you maybe open up a little bit more, like in detail, what's going on in the reliability tests? Like we are using heat for aging the materials, the products, but is it only heat that we are using? Is there something else as well?
The heat is the main stressor for the drives, for especially the semiconductors and more importantly the IGBTs. For them it's critical is what is the temperature delta between the lowest point and highest point. The more cycles you would have this temperature differences, the more basically the lifetime of IGBT is defined by the amount of these cycles. Heat is, and what you need to, if you open up the manual of a drive, what you would see that you can use it from minus 15 to plus 45. That would be stated in the manual. So this would be called operating limit, like that. There is something else. It's called the destructive margin. It's a bit wider. In this area, you can, the drive will not operate, for example, anymore. Or this is allowed limit, then operate limit, then destructive limit. It's an example. If you would go over the operating limit, it stops operating. But then when it cools down or goes back to the limit, it starts working again. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go over the destructive limit, there's no way back. It's now not performing
it's
anymore.
It's destroyed.
Destroyed. So what we do is in R&D also, you want to define those limits, right? When you're defining the limits, you're finding this fringe point, when you can actually, where the device is operational. So when you are doing the tests afterwards, you would go to this point, and then you would either stay there for too long, or you would have the fluctuations in the temperatures. So there are two types of stress you can have. You can have either absolutely high temperature, like you're in desert, and there's no humidity, right? And it's very hot, and there's a lot of dust. So in that application, you need to verify that you are able to work in those conditions. Or it can be some application that constantly stops and starts and stops and starts. For example, elevator. Hit the button, starts running. Hit the floor again, starts running, and so on. Those two different profiles would mean different approach to the test. However, not all of our drives have this specific customer profile. In some cases, more generalized. So what we do is we use a specific model to understand how the materials will perform with this generalized profile. And we do see a correlation from the field failures that are happening from the drives that were sold 10 years ago and the ones that we are testing now, but let's say didn't have major design changes. So the model is not extremely accurate, but it's accurate enough to give you the area to look at. I think I cannot say the numbers, right, where how high we go or how low we go, but one of the popular tests is called THB, temperature humidity biased. Your device, components, boards are placed into conditions where you would have 85 degrees Celsius, 85% relative humidity, and also the boards will be powered up. And in that conditions, they have to work either 500, 1,000 hours or 1,500 hours, depends on the approach. And if they did, that's good. If they didn't, then you start to understand why this happened. And you would really like to find the root cause. That's the most important. Because again, there's no, it's just system broke. There's a specific small component broke. And the variations can be very different. The root causes can be different. So it's tricky, but at the same time, it's possible to do.
And we can also come then maybe to this like active life cycle or the maintenance of the product. If the product is released already on the field and we have done all of our testing and everything is, but reality is that nobody is 100%. Always something can fail. So what already Sergei mentioned, this failure analysis and understanding of the root cause of the failure, this is not only in testing. So the same thing is actually on our products that are on the field. So something happens in there, we have to understand why it happened. And in there we can go really deep and to the component level, understand why it fails, and from there we can improve. So this is actually kind of this reliability. This is not like only testing, nor it is not only the theory behind it. It's so complex topic. So it is like, it starts from R&D, it is active life cycle, and we end up also into the preventative maintenance that we already discussed in the beginning. So let's say a fan or whatever that doesn't run maybe 10 years as the drive runs 10 years, but we shouldn't replace a full drive. There's no point. So we only replace the fan. Mm-hmm. And then we make those from this testing, those theory, find those, how to say, those cycles when we need to change something, when we need to change components. So our service will go there, change some components, drive will continue working. So.
And I would say also that in this, in reliability, that everybody is contributing to that. Starting from engineer who defines the concept, selects components, manufacturer, what kind of components that they provide, logistics, how they deliver them when they get damaged during the way, assembly, the later testing, then installation, parameterization, all of it would define how the product behaves. So we'd like to kind of control all those areas as much as possible, how the drive is stored after it's delivered, and so on. So there are a bunch of functions, or this big function of reliability has many inputs that defines the outcome.
Absolutely true. You already mentioned a little bit about component. So coming back to this, we're not testing only system level, right?
Of course not. So like also that what we do here in Estonia locally, this is only one small portion that, so each and every site, but of course the component level testing. So in some cases, it doesn't make sense to test the full system because it's just too time consuming, too expensive, whatever reason. So you will get a lot better results if you test only a component. Let's say a capacitor, an IGBT, whatever we have in there. So, but that is component. It's again with the levels that there are different level of testing and we have to have different levels to understand the full picture. So having only component testing or having only system level testing, that finally doesn't give any value. Mm-hmm. So you have to have all of those pieces in place to have the really good product finally out.
The component is, you would have more control and of course they complement each other. And one of the way you could do component testing, for example, is that you would like to find your sourcing partner who would be your main supplier, second supplier, and etc. And you'd like to see how their solutions, products are performing in the same conditions.
So comparative testing.
Comparative testing. Mm-hmm. And from that, you could select the best, like number one, number two, compare other inputs, pricing, availability, think with your plans, and then based on this information, you could make a better decision. So ultimately, we are generating information for decision making.
Okay, good. We've talked about accelerated lifetime testing and ongoing reliability testing. There's also highly accelerated lifetime testing and maybe other procedures as well. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe open up that a little bit as well?
Different kind of abbreviations. HALT is the accelerated limit test is the one that you do when you want like to find the limits of the device, where it's operational and destructive. That would be the one. Then stress screening and but the point is, those are just kind of tools in the hands of an expert, right? Who has different methods, you know, like the fugu fish. When you start preparing it, then the guy is using, I don't know, 100 knives, but the more master he becomes, he starts using only one knife. In our case, it's vice versa. right? So the better master you are, the more methods you will be using, the more different angles you will be seeing, the more things you will be reviewing. If you're a smaller company, then you have like one some IEC standard, you comply and then straight to market. In our case, we would like to really give a promise to the end customer and have the confidence by ourselves that the things are working. So the tools are more of, let's say, they change and and they evolve in a way.
Yeah, and testing is one of the tools.
So one of the tools.
And there we find what failed, what becomes of this finding afterwards.
So that is usually, so what failed is, to be honest, if you go to this failure analysis or this, that understanding what failed for electronics, electrical engineer, it's not that tricky actually. That, what failed, find a component, go forward. Important thing is we have to also figure why it failed and how it failed. Then it gets finally tricky to understand all of the influences surrounding why this went wrong. That finding a component, what failed, simple, going there. But this is where we also try to aim to understand why and how it failed. And from there, we can actually start implementing those improvements to our products. So what failed means that we are replacing finally the same component with another same component. It will fail again. That doesn't make any sense. If we go high and wide, we can make use a better component in there, which is more durable, whatever. So this is the point, and this is where those design changes and updates come, and the products are evolving constantly. So.
And it might be related to the processes surrounding it. Yeah. Maybe the installation is wrong or not. It's you really have to look into the specific case. But ultimately, the end destination would be to improve this area. If you found the weakest link, you would like to improve it. How you improve it, it really depends on the matter.
So actually, it's quite funny. From my kids, I have even seen how the products evolve, even from my kids' Lego Duplo toys. I have one that is like 10 years old, the same piece. And if I compare the two pieces, they look exactly the same. But there is one plastic insert in the newer one, which is made of a stronger material. Mm. Because the older one, the light wore out, it didn't work anymore. So it is like quite cool to see even how, let's say, even Lego is doing this like continuous improvement for their product. And this is like the what we do also the same way, that we continuously improve our products.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to highlight to the audience about reliability engineering?
Maybe that it's worth mentioning that Estonia is one of the biggest facility in drives, or actually maybe the only facility in drives business that has that many accelerated lifetime test setups.
Mm. Maybe we can open up these numbers actually, that how much tests are we running on a daily basis, how many setups we have there, how many test setups and containers and so on.
Mm, right, so it's called TRC, Drives Reliability Center. It's a building in which we have the test containers, which we call Las Vegas Concept. Why? Because what happens inside stays inside. You would like to, if your system would break, you would like to contain the damage. So we would put it into a container.
And they are running 24/7, so it's not supervised.
Yeah, they are not supervised. Everything is automated. There is data collection going on and data saving. So you are constantly monitoring the drive, and then you are able to see how the parameters behaved in time. That would give you information on, for example, you see the temperature start rising, and then this could be an input that this device is aging. Mm-hmm. Do we have 20 now with new systems, 24 setups, system drives, drive products, traction, and the software. And totally we are running For let's say the hardware tests, we're running more than 300 units per year, which gives us roughly 100 different unique faults, that some room for improvement. We find software bugs as well. We're testing high runners of ABB, R8i, R7i, drive products, whole high runner portfolio, medium voltage drives. And also we're testing components. One of the quite really interesting is the software testing that we do, that we have for drive products. It's again that all the changes that the software guys do, that they will be tested on the real setup, on the real application, that they would see that all the sequences, or that they, the code that they change, you know, the butterfly effect, that you kill the butterfly and then you get the earthquake, that somebody changed one variable name and then the whole code stopped working. So this doesn't happen. And this is what the software tests are for. And for that, we have 6 systems also running here 24/7.
Mm. Yeah, and our, like in general, these hardware tests are like product size-wise that we can we test from the smallest what we have in our portfolio up to the biggest, basically, and everything in between. So this is the capability. And that is Las Vegas concept also, that kind of if you run prototypes, if you test pilots, they will fail, for
it
sure.
It is R&D testing. Yeah, that's it. You never know what happens.
Yeah, never know. And then this containing this into one. And this somehow started in here, kind of a coincidence that it went to the sea container. We didn't like think so. It was nice and easy like thing to have, but now as we have evolved, we have seen that it's kind of the best thing.
It's a modular solution.
Yeah, modular solution and really easy to utilize that.
And it has had its payback as well.
Oh, yeah.
In one case, one of the drives actually failed in the test setup.
Yeah, fire didn't come out, so it was only contained in there. And
yeah, and afterwards it was just a refurbishment and tests continued.
Yes,
exactly.
What's maybe something for a key takeaway for the audience?
First of all, reliability is something that you have in your common life and that you don't appreciate until you lose it. Then the activity, I would say, the bigger the company is, the higher probability that they are doing these activities, as the cost of poor reliability is then, and the impact for the business is a lot higher for a bigger company than a small startup.
I kind of support this Sergei's method that we kind of, as we work in ABN, we have to kind of all understand more that how much work we actually put into this reliability and how big of an effort we actually add in there. It's somehow done on the background. Most of the people don't know, but this is why we are actually good. This is why we are one of the best I think we are the best on the market in that sense. Seems a simple thing that the product will kind of last, that doesn't break down, but how much effort actually is put in there that it will not break down.
Yes. All right. I think we can conclude the session for today.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, I think we can conclude today's session. Thank you everybody for watching and listening. Until next time.
Energiamajanduse telgitagustes.